أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الذي خلق الموت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن عملا وهو العزيز الغفور صدق الله العظيم. We're discussing the second ayah of Surah Al-Mulk. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala speaks about His existence, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala's greatness. All sovereignty is in the hands of Allah. He has power over all things. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ, that Allah that created mouth, created death, وَالْحَيَاةَ, and that Allah that created life. This is where we were discussing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first mentions al-maut, first death, and then al-hayat. Allah Ta'ala mentions life to show us that we have come into this world and this is not our last station, but this is still a journey. One was the Alame Arwah. From the Alame Arwah, man then Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala created within the womb of his mother. That was a period of time in this journey, and then from there we were brought into this world by Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us that that journey has not come to an end. Now one aspect about this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about maut, and we were discussing the preparation of maut, the different kinds of people. One were those who did not prepare. They are indulging in this material world, and the indulgence is of such a nature that they have completely forgotten the journey ahead. And hence there was no preparation for death. They would hate death when death comes upon them. The second group of people were those that had preparations. They made preparations. They may have faltered in this earth. They make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They try, they attempt, they endeavor to fulfill the commandments of Allah. They slip, they fall. They make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then yet with all of that, they feel that they are inadequately prepared for maut, what the ulama term is qasirun nafs, and the result of it is they are very fearful of maut, they are very fearful of death. That is not a bad thing, that is a good thing that a person has, that quality, that whatever has been submitted to Allah Rabbul Izzat is not worthy of the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then the third group that we discussed were those people that they had this great love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the love of Allah Rabbul Izzat motivated them to continuously endeavor and strive and fulfill the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And their condition was is this, that they love Allah Rabbul Izzat, they love to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they in actual fact waiting for the day that they will leave this world and then carry on this journey to meet Allah Rabbul Izzat, like the saying that maut is a bridge, that it bridges the gap between servant and Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Then the last group are those people who have a very high quality of iman in Allah Rabbul Izzat. It is of such a great nature that they being in this world and being in the hereafter, being wherever, is all immaterial. Whatever condition Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala keeps them in this dunya, whether a happy condition, a sad condition, a condition of affluence, a condition of poverty and impoverishment, whether they are in good health, whether they are in bad health, whatever the circumstances be with regards to themselves, regards to those around them, they are always happy with the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the terminology of the ulama, this is known as rida bi qada illah. This rida bi qada illah, they are happy with the decree of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. When we just turn the pages of history, we turn the pages of the Quran, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, when He remembers Sahaba, when He remembers the Sahaba of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, this is the dominant quality by which Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala remembers them. Radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala was pleased with them and they were pleased with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala in whatever condition that Allah had kept them. We also pleased with Allah, but we are pleased when there is affluence. We are pleased with Allah when there is happiness. We'll say Alhamdulillah, shukr to Allah. But no sooner does challenges face us, difficulties come upon us, then we begin to slip. And Allah Ta'ala forbid, Allah save us, then we begin to even question Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the journey of life. It is filled with these tests and trials. And in every aspect, we need to be happy with the decree of Allah. So this last group, they are happy with whatever Allah decrees. If my Allah is happy that I be on this earth, I'm also happy to be on this earth. If my Allah is happy to take me away from this world, I'm also happy to go. That preparation has been made, whether I'm in this world, whether I'm wherever, my link, my bond with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my contact, my connection with Allah, my affinity with Allah, all of it is of a very high standard. Now, the ulama have given an illustration of this in the biography of Fariduddin Attar, rahmatullah alayh. He was an attar. He was a person that would sell itar, perfumes. And we know that when people sell perfumes in the Middle East or in the Eastern countries, we will look at the shops are filled with glass. The itar, the perfume also is in glass. The shelf also is made of glass. Behind that, they'll have a glass mirror also. And it's filled with mirrors. There's just something that links between the two. And it is filled with all these glasses all over. A dervish comes to him, a faqir, a person that seemed to be very insignificant, comes into his shop. And he begins to look at Fariduddin Attar. And he begins to just stare at him. Fariduddin Attar begins to ask the person, is there anything I can help you with? Possibly you want some itar. The person says, no, you cannot help me. But he stands there and he stares at him. And obviously, that becomes a little bit irritating sometimes. So again he asked him, that what is it that you want? So the person said, I don't want anything. I'm just standing here and thinking about how is Fariduddin Attar going to leave this world? What would be his condition? How is he going to meet Malakul Maut? And how is his ruh going to be extracted? So Fariduddin Attar told him that that is not really your business, how I leave this world. That is my problem. So the person then goes on to explain, and he says to him, you see, your heart, your soul, your everything is so absorbed in all this glass around you. The bottles around you, the glass around you. And when Malakul Maut comes to extract your ruh, what is actually going to happen to you is that that ruh will want to stick in all of this. So Fariduddin Attar told the person that, why don't you, in our language, take a walk. Don't worry about me. If you want to die, you die the way you want to die. So the person said, really, do you want to see how a person dies? Do you want to see how I leave this world? Fariduddin Attar very casually told him, yes. The man lies down. He faces his chest towards the Qibla and he reads La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the person leaves this world in great ease and great peace. Fariduddin Attar was now struck with a reality that this is it actually, that this man had no attachments to this material world, and because he was so strongly linked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that maut also was a very, very easy maut for this person, and that changes his whole life. And this is the message that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala is giving here, Alladhi khalaqa al-mauta wal-hayata, that insan, hayat is not forever and ever. Maut is a certain and a definite reality. Ulama have written, especially in this month of Ramadan, we have our ruh, our soul, and we have and we have our body. Our body, its components is from the ground, from the earth. And it is always going to draw us to this earth. It is always going to draw us to this dunya. With regards to our soul, it is an amr, it is a command of Allah that is always inclined towards the hereafter. Everything celestial, everything heavenly, everything to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such is our ruh. Now what happens in the course of normal life? We indulge so much in this material world that the bodily aspect of us becomes dominant in us, and hence we do not want to move out of this earthly life. This month of Ramadan, by fasting and depriving the body of the basic needs, what happens? It actually begins to strengthen the soul. And then we make ibadat the tilawat of the Quran, the dhikrullah, our coming to the masjid, our spending more time in a proper manner in the house of Allah, our nawafil salat, that begins to strengthen the ruh. And then that ruh inclines us towards Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Tilawat of the Quran, ulama have written, is in actual fact the food of the soul, of the ruh. Dhikrullah is the food of the ruh. And all of that strengthens the ruh, so that now our inclination moves towards akhirat, our inclination moves towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the real test that Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala puts us through in this material world. May Allah ta'ala give us a tawfiq. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk.